All right, folks, we're getting ready. We're going to stay in our same book. We're getting ready to coin an old phrase, change gears here a little bit. And we're going to start dealing with subjects that may not affect everybody here,
no.
But at some point in time, it has affected you. You may not be going through some of this right now, but you may go through it tomorrow. Maybe you went through it a year ago. So some of the subject matter is going to be a little different, but this writer gets these subjects very well. Now, the very first one out of the gate that we're going to deal with, Larry, you go ahead and put that. God's Guide to Survival, Part 2, Dealing with Abuse. Right off the gate. Abuse. Now, abuse comes in a lot of different forms. We're going to look at this. But I promise you, in some time in your life, you've had to deal with this subject on some level. Now, it's according to what level you deal with it is what reaction that you get or what reaction you have. Because abuse doesn't necessarily mean that you're the one that's being abused, but maybe you know somebody. And also understand this, sometimes the one that's abusing you is you. Let me think.
Amen.
Now understand, folks, God is a God who loves us no matter what we're dealing with. And let me tell you something. I believe they abused Jesus just a little bit, if I remember history. Huh? I think he went through a little abuse, didn't he? And abuse brings something that we call pain. But pain is not just physical pain. Sometimes physical pain is the easiest to get over. But you got emotional pain. You got spiritual pain. You got family pain. You got financial pain. You got things that hit all of us. And yet the title of this book is God's Guide to Survival. There is no abuse that you have had to come across, whether you're dealing with it yourself, you know somebody, a family member that you cannot survive from with God's help. Because God's grace, believe me, God is the best friend that you've got. Even when you're by yourself and you think you're lonely, you're never alone. Let me say that again. When you think you're lonely, you are never alone. Satan will tell you nobody cares about you. Satan will tell you you're useless. Satan will tell you you don't amount to nothing. Why don't you just curl up and die? Jesus says, I love you. I love you. And if you want to change, I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Give Jesus a hand. We're in different journeys, amen. All right, we don't take no journey without glasses. Let me go. Everybody be old one day just like me. All right, let me read to you the introduction of part two. I'll be reading this every week, just like I read the introduction to part one. Our relationships help define who we are today and who we will become tomorrow. Folks, our relationships have the power to enrich us or restrict us. And the quality of our relationship depends in large part on the person who faces you each time you look into the mirror. Every day I look at myself. And I don't mean it to comb my hair. But what I'm looking at is what I got to live with. And when I realize that I don't take this journey by myself, that there is some grace involved in my life, and thank God for grace. Because if it wasn't for grace in my life, I'd be in hell. you understand that? There ain't a perfect person here. This is not about judging people. You let God do the judging. This is about looking for help when everyone else has turned their back on you. And believe me, we got some people that need to hear this. And if they're not here, you tell them to get on the internet, to listen, to watch. As we travel this journey together, called relationships. That's what part two is all about. Everybody here is in some type of relationship. Even if you're not married, you're in some type of relationship. You're somebody's son, you're somebody's daughter, you're somebody's granddaughter, you're somebody's grandson, you're somebody's parent, you're something. Okay? Relationships is how we get along with each other. And believe me, when abuse is involved, it affects relationships. Huh? Everybody with me? Say amen. Part two of God's Survival Guide, we consider ways to understand our relationships and ways to improve them. Here we go. How do I deal with abuse? In a perfect world inhabited by perfect people, all our relationships would be uplifting, enlightening, encouraging, and loving. Boy, that sounds good, but we're not in a perfect world. You don't live in a perfect world. You live in a world, but it's not perfect. That comes later.
Amen.
That comes later. But this world is populated by decidedly imperfect people, and as a result, our relationships are equally imperfect. On occasions, relationships become abusive. And here's the issue. God, when he writes this, he says occasionally. The world we live in today, that occasions get more and more frequently all the time. 50 years ago, we didn't use terms like abuse as much. Today, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There ain't a family on this planet somewhere that's not dealing with some type of abuse. It's not always drugs, but a lot of it's drugs. It's not always alcohol, but a lot of it's alcohol. It's not always pornography, but a lot of it's pornography. But it is just life. Life is fuel of abuse. It's full. It's full. Larry gets me like this every Sunday. It's filled with it. I'll get it out now. You know what ought to scare you? You understand me even when I mess up. That ought to scare you. But life is. It's that way. On occasions, relationships become abusive. And when they do, it's time for the aggrieved party to take firm, rational, and immediate action. Now, I'm going to say that again. This is tough here for me. Let's use big words. When it happens, when abuse happens, it is time for the aggrieved party. Now, that's a fancy way of saying it's time for me. Whether I know about the abuse, or I'm in the abuse, or I am the abuse, whatever that falls in the category, it means it's time for me to do something. That's what it means, all right? Time to take firm, rational, and immediate action. Because if you don't, somebody's going to get hurt. And it might be you. It's time for people to understand that we're going to be held responsible for our actions, and even if that action is just toward me. Because if I don't hurt anybody else but me, you're still hurting other people. You understand that? Even if the only person you're harming is yourself, you're still hurting other people. Because they love you. And they care about you. They don't like that. Hey, when they come and told me that my daughter had cancer, it like killed me. And it wasn't about me. I didn't have it. I wish it had been me. You understand that? But everybody here is entwined in one thing. This is a real big word. So just let me throw it on you. You're going to be really impressed when I use this big word. It's called family. That's what it's called. I tell people when they come to me to get married, and I used to do a lot of weddings. I don't do as many of them as I used to. But I always said this. And a lot of times they didn't understand. I said, you do marry the family. Oh, no, I ain't married that family. Oh, yes, you are. You may not think you are, but you are. Because that's what it is. Two people come together, which means two families come together. Then you create your own family. Now, we can sit up here and defend family all we want to. Now, you know the definition of family is, don't you? It's simply this. I can kill them, but nobody else better not touch them. That's as good a definition of family I can give it to you. Give the Lord a hand. That's just the gospel truth. That's what it's about. All right. This man gives us seven things to look at when dealing with abuse. Listen, these things are good. It's called the do's and the don'ts. Don't think of yourself as a victim, number one. Think of yourself as a person who needs to take action now. And think of yourself as a person who can. You will never, ever get above your abuse until you realize today you stop becoming a victim. Because if you're a victim, it gives you an excuse to keep doing what you're doing. Now that's good stuff here, people. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Quit being a victim. Under God's eyes, you are a child of God. Look at yourself as a child of God. Stop that today. You change the fact that you're not a victim anymore. You are a child of God, and you are worth something. Jesus died for you. You have worth. You, no matter what you've done, what your past, you are not a victim anymore. You are and can be and will be, if you love Jesus, a child of God. Believe me, Jesus doesn't see you as a victim. He sees you as somebody he loves. Give the Lord a hand. Number two, do consider your options. And remember this, if you think you don't have any, you're not thinking clearly enough. I don't know how many people have told me, I'm out of options. No, you're not. As long as you've got a breath, you've got an option. You're not in this alone. You may think so, but you're not if you know the Lord. You'd be surprised the people that get in your path and wants to get in your path. Here's the deal. You know why most people stop feeling sorry for you? Sometimes give up on you? It's because they can't help you until you're ready to help yourself.
Amen.
And that's just life. But you're worth something. You understand that? God loves you. I don't care what you've done or what your past. Today is the rest of your life. You can't do nothing about yesterday, even if you wanted to. You can't do it. Tomorrow will take care of itself if you take care of today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of action. Everybody understand that? Huh? You with me? Give the Lord a hand of applause again. Do seek help. Whenever you realize it or not, lots of folks want to help you. God being at the top of the list. Here's the deal. Here's what I see. And I'm talking from what I've experienced and what I've seen. People seem to think they can defeat whatever abuse is going on themselves. Sometimes, let's give people credit. Sometimes they do. Most of the time, they can't do it on themselves. Because when you get addicted to whatever it is you're addicted to, that simply means you can't live without it. That's called an addiction. Okay? I'm sort of addicted to food. And I have a hard time. I get in a bad mood if it's not around me. But I have to change that. Because food is not my enemy. Nor is it my friend. It's just what I need to do to survive. We have to understand, folks, the choices that we make in life determine who we are in life. And it's all about the choices that we make. People are willing to help you if you help yourself. I say this all the time. And it's simple, but I mean, it's just the truth. Because I saw this one time. That's why I use this illustration. If you're in a swimming pool and somebody's in the deep end drowning, who do they need to help them? Somebody who don't know how to swim or somebody who does know how to swim? Who would you want to come save you? See, now that makes sense to me, don't it? Years ago, I was a teenager. I was out with my aunt. We was out riding waves. This is when I got in the ocean. Got a raft. We was rafting. If you get out to where you can't touch your feet, you become sort of dependent upon wherever that ocean wants to take you. Most time it wants to take you out farther and farther and farther. Now, you have a lifeguard that's there. And it aggravates. I found out it aggravates a lifeguard when they have to get wet. It ruins their whole day because they're there to get a suntan. That's the impression that I get. But they have to get wet. Oh, my goodness. So my aunt and I just seemed to be getting farther, and we didn't realize it. But now here comes the whistle. Have you ever seen these people do this? When they're out, they're blowing the whistle, and they point that flag at you, and then, as if to say, come back in closer. He blows that whistle. Now, if your feet can't touch the bottom, what are you going to do? If you can't swim, then you paddle. You got to float. You ain't going to win. So now, here comes the man. And he's going to be mad when he gets out there. Now, here's my aunt, and here we are out there. Now, here it comes. Of course, everybody's watching now. We got an audience. Everybody's coming out there. Now, he gets to my aunt first. But he decides, since I'm the one the farthest out, he would come to me. My aunt said, don't worry about him. You take care of me. And I thought, but since you love me. Again, here's family now for you. All right? Because when you're drowning, don't make no difference. Everybody's on their own. So what he had to do is he went and got me, and then he got her, and then he had to drag his boat in. All the whole entire time, he's swimming in with us. He's lecturing us. Do you know how dangerous it is out here? Do you know what's out here? Do you know there's sharks out here? Do you know there's everything's out here? You could have drowned. Your family could have had your funeral. You never heard such a lecture by Eastman. I didn't know a lifeguard could swim and lecture all the same time. But here's the deal. Thank God he knew what he was doing. Because he went and got two people that didn't know what they were doing. See, you can't help somebody, folks, until you know what you're doing. How are you going to help the lost if you're lost yourself? See, you get the understanding, don't you? That's why that he loves it when people turn their lives around. Because then you have a testimony, which means here's my past, here's where I am today, and here's how come I can help you with tomorrow. Because I've gone through the same thing, and I've defeated it. I've got through it. I became a better person because of it. You get that? Then you, instead of being the one abused, you become the one that helps. And all of that circle of life is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. You need to stop being a victim. Get life straight through the help of Jesus Christ. And then you have a testimony. And then you can help other people. And then you make a full circle in life. You get the picture? Do you understand? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright. Don't try to change the other person. Now listen to this, folks. Trying to reform other people is usually for time. Other people must reform themselves. Be hopeful with God's help. They will do so. But you cannot force them to do so. And I guess no one understands this more than, I guess, a parent or a grandparent. I know that the more that someone tells me when I was younger that it was wrong, I'm going to do it. Because you see, I know how to handle me. When you're young, that's what you say. I know how to handle me. I don't need nobody telling me how to live my life. I don't need nobody telling me what's what. I've said this many times. From the time I was about 17 to 25, I had the dumbest parents as they're grown places. I mean, I complained to God. I said, you could at least give me two parents that had no sense. That's all I'm asking for, just a little sense. Then all of a sudden, in life, they became smart all of a sudden. I don't know what happened to them. I'm just telling you, they got smart all of a sudden. Now maybe that had something to do with me. I don't know. But no matter, my parents, no matter what they tried to tell me, this wasn't. Because most of the time, we tell things out of experience. If I take a hammer and I hit my hand, and I use this illustration all the time, because I look at my audience here, I gotta make this simple. When I take a hammer and hit my hand, that hurts. I got a son. What I need to tell him is, don't take that hammer and hit your hand. Now, being the man that he is, what's he gonna do? Oh, he's going to take that hammer and hit his hand. And then he's going to blame me. Why didn't you tell me, Daddy, it would hurt? Well, I tried to tell you. You know, the trouble of it is, when they get out of our sight, they get to a certain age, they start listening to a whole lot of other people around them than you, because, see, you ain't got enough sense to get out of the lane as a parent. And let's say this, when you was their age, your parents didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain either. I mean, this is not something, this is just what we do. But let me tell you something, as a parent, when you see a child continue to do something when you know good and well they want to get hurt, this is tough. Because you want to shake them, you want to punish them, you want to fix it. How's that? Is that the right way to do it? You want to fix it. The trouble of it is, when they get to a certain age, the only person that can fix it is them, Jesus. Oh, you don't sleep at nights. You worry. You lose your hair. You lose your patience. You lose your mind. You do everything else. Because you know there ain't nothing else you can do. But here's one thing you can do, and listen to me closely. There's been a lot of people's lives changed when mom and dad's been on their knees. I don't know where my two are at half the time. This one here travels the world. Goes everywhere. I don't know where all he's going places this year. I don't know if it's on the plan. How does that stop his mom and dad? And it aggravates him when we worry about him. I'm a grown man. Well, I can't help that. But, you know, we're going to worry. Because the world's not safe anymore. But here's what it is. I don't trust the world. But I trust him. Big difference there, okay? I know he's going to try to do the right thing. That'll stop me from worrying. But I can't live his life for him. You understand that? There comes a time, folks, when no matter what happens, you can't do it. They're under God's grace, and that's all they can be. And that's tough. That's tough. But understand that God's grace can cover a lot of problems. Because even when you don't know where they're at, even when you don't know what they're doing, God does. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Do insist on logical consequences. This is interesting. Listen to this. If the other person misbehaves or worse, allow him or her to learn from the consequences of the misbehavior. In other words, don't be an enabler. My dad always told me, I use him a lot because he taught me a lot. But he said, I'll help you as long as you're willing to help yourself. But my dad let me pay for my sins. He did. Because he said, you won't learn unless there's pain. Now, that's hard to do. To sit and let your child pay for their sins when you'd like to just pay for it and get it wiped off the books. You'd like to make it go away. This writer here, who's a marvelous psychiatrist, says sometimes you have to let them feel it. You walk it with them, you feel it with them. But until they know how bad it's going to hurt, they're not going to seek help. That's good, everyone. Listen to me, that's good advice. That's tough advice, but that's good advice. Because God's going to watch over your child when you're not there. And we all know things happen. But all we can understand is that we cannot go along with it. If you enable, you are part of the problem. Can I make it any more blunt than that? You'd be surprised the people, when they try to help, become the problem. Sometimes it just doesn't work anyway. Because remember, I said my parents were dumb. They were stupid. One day I threatened to leave home. My dad just packed it up for me. I said, I'm tired of this nonsense. I'm going to leave. He said, well, give me just a minute. I'll pack for you. Mom's over here crying. My dad just packed my clothes up. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He had his two kids there. He said, okay, do you know where you're going? No. He said, well, I suggest you get to going. Yeah. Plus, he knew I loved to eat. See, that's the thing Dad had on. I loved to eat. He knew supper 5, 6 o'clock, I'd be back home. Ain't nobody going to feed me, nor take an army to feed me. I knew what he was doing. He called my mom. And to this day, I have no doubt if I walked out of that house, he'd say goodbye. Now, it would have killed him. He wouldn't have told me that time, but it would kill him. But he'd have packed. Because there comes a time, folks, when we have to learn that if we are a man, if we are a woman, there's consequences for what we do. The Lord have a father. The last two. Don't give up hope. Other people have experienced the same kind of hard times you may be experiencing now. They made it. They made it. They made it. You can too. Find a support group. Get together with people. Understand. You can get through this. Whether you're the one going through it, or whether you've related to someone going through it. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to say this mainly for the internet. One abuse that's on a rampant today is women are being more abused by husbands and boyfriends than ever before. And I want to make sure, especially if you're watching me by internet, I don't care how much you love somebody. They lay a hand on you, you get your tail out. There is no room. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to flip the side just a little bit, too, as well. Women, don't be hitting on men. Men don't respond to that. There needs to be mutual respect toward each other's lives. And if you can't get along without touching each other in anger and pain, then you need to separate and separate fast. There is no place, no place that you'll find anywhere in God's Word where God's Word gives justification for this. Now, I'm hoping I'm not speaking to anybody in here, but if I am, then you listen up closely. Understand, you will answer for this abuse. You will answer for it. There's no place for it. Because when this happens, folks, people's lives get destroyed. And people get killed. Until we can learn to control our temper and our anger, this world's in a world of hurt. And the reason we can't control it anymore is because that's how much anxiety and pressure people are under today. We are under so much pressure in the world we live in today, folks, it takes nothing to set us off. Now, all y'all know that. Includes me. We're under a tremendous amount of pressure. And don't think Satan doesn't know it. And the more pressure that you're under, the bigger your button gets. And unless you turn that button over to the wall to make it smaller, the bigger that button gets, the more abuse that you become. Now let me tell you something, folks. You don't have to lay a hand on somebody to abuse them. You go and open up that big fat mouth of yours, it destroys people. You understand that? Watch what you say. Control it. They don't forget. You can't take it back once it comes out of the mouth. We understand that? That's me included. Thank God for forgiveness. The trouble of this, which you've got to be very careful of, folks, is sometimes Jesus will forgive you, but other people won't. Are you with me here? You understand? This happens every day, folks. Every day this happens. The more Jesus I put into me, the more he controls my thoughts, my actions, and my mouth. And believe me, I need to be under control. I need to be under control. What about you? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Last thing, and I've already touched on this slide. Do make yourself personal safety your highest priority. If you are in an explosive relationship, do the wise thing. Think safety first. Safety for yourself, and if you're a parent, safety for your children. Because I promise you, if you're dealing with abuse, so will your children. You'd be surprised how this is passed down from generation to generation. You understand that? It has to stop. Put Christ first. Let Jesus control you. Understand to deal with abuse is to deal with me. Let Jesus have my life. Nobody here is perfect. But understand this. We all live under God's grace. And in the world we live in today, until that trumpet sounds, we need all the grace we can find. Give the Lord one more round. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Would you come?